they have this entire week off. Kids are out of school, parents are home, and all of that good stuff. I do not. I've been working this week. I have tomorrow and the next day off. Then I'll be back to work on Friday. Then I got Shabbos. So it's a very interesting week. I had yesterday off because yesterday in my school district was Easter Bunny Monday. I'm not sure what that meant, but it's a day off and they pay me. I don't care. Today was a regular school day. Tomorrow is 2 days off. Then Friday's a minimum day. So I got a week and I got a day and a half of work this way, a week. Oh, well. That, you know, that's very hard. Tonight we have a special dinner that my wife and I have been working on. My kids will be over, of course, which I'm surprised they aren't in here looking for food already. You know, teenagers are. And tomorrow, they asked me about Shmini Atzeret. Could you explain? Shmini Atzeret is, okay, Shmini Atzeret in Torah is a, okay, you have a 7-day holiday called Sukkot, okay? At the end of that time, now everybody went to Jerusalem. They were there for the first of Tishri, which was Rosh Hashanah, which is a outside the land, is a couple day holiday. Then you have Fast of the Gedaliah. Then on the 10th day of Tishri, you have Yom Kippur. Then after Yom Kippur evening day, you have a couple of day preparation for the holiday of Sukkot. Sukkot is a 7-day holiday. Now, at the end of those 7 days, people have been in Israel already close to a month. And people had to get back to their homes. They had to get back to their farms. And so most of the people left. Now, the ones who stuck around because, you know, something of God's hanging around, you just don't really want to go home because you kind of want to hang around and say hi to the big guy, etc. That was an Atzeres. That was a holy convocation, as it says in Torah. If you look in Shemini Atzeret, if you look that up in the back of the Stone Edition of Chumash, and I'll take you to where it is, it's an extra day. The people who don't want to leave after 7 days need that one extra day around the big guy. So they hung around Jerusalem for that one extra day for that Atzeres. And Atzeres is a convocation, a gathering. And so the ones who stuck around for the Shemini, Shemona, which is the eighth day of the Regal. The Regal is the festival of Sukkot. It's an extra day to hang around and just kind of, you know, sit in the glow or the afterglow, if you will, of the big guy. And that's what an Atzeret is. Atzeres. Hopefully that explained it. And that is the eighth day of Sukkot, if you will. Not a problem. Pat, did you ask that one? Probably. So, good. Okay, hopefully I answered your question. Is it in a holy day? Yes. Yes, it is. It's the final day of Sukkot. So everybody leaves then. Then the following week you have Simchat Torah. So, I mean, it is literally a month of holidays. It's kind of fun, actually. Yeah, it's pretty much a month. I have to take off as many as 7 days in 1 month. Imagine being in a job where you have to be gone for 7 days in 1 month. Needless to say, my work was not overly thrilled with me. So, oh well. Okay, I got about 30 minutes. Why is Pesach celebrated for 8 days? Because it's a 7-day holiday, and to make it a regal, why is Pesach celebrated for 8 days? Because God said it's celebrated for 8 days. It's a regal. It is a holiday, a biblical holiday that is a festival, and it's celebrated for a week and a day. We're at the 5th day of the counting of the Omer, which the 33rd day of the Omer is Lag, or Lamed Gimel Omer. And between a couple of days ago and the 33rd day of the Omer, which is in May, you don't get your hair cut and you don't cut your beard. So my beard should be down to about here by then. The Lagba Omer is, this is a time between the first day of the counting of the Omer and the 33rd day of the counting of the Omer that you're not supposed to get married, you're not supposed to do any eulogies, and you're not supposed to take a haircut. And that's next month. Then 2 weeks after, no music either. No, no music. So if you're out there rocking and rolling, you're rocking and rolling, you're not supposed to do that. Thanks for reminding me. That's a very good one. What if someone dies? Then you bury them, but you don't eulogize them until after Lag BaOmer. You don't do the chesped. Yeah. So no weddings or anything like that. So if you die, you bury him. So you have to do that. What is this? Oh, cool. I still don't understand what the Omer. The Omer. Okay. The planting of the barley. All right. An Omer is a measurement of barley. And this is the countdown until it's ready to go, ready to be tithed and used. Did that explain it, I hope? So anyway, this time of year is a fascinating time of year because of everything that goes on. What does that have to do with Passover? It is the time that is counted from the second day of Passover all the way to the 33rd day, which is the Omer, the new stuff. It can apply to RG if we choose to participate in order to earn it. No, I really, you can honor it, you can consider it, like Lag BaOmer, take a look on a Jewish calendar, but don't forget you can't add a mitzvah. It also says with the manna in the jar and the holy holies. Yes. Right. The Omer winds up after processing to be about 5 pounds. Very good. Hey. Right. You could think on it. Exactly. Exactly. But don't forget, this is something that I find very interesting. And this is probably where a lot of people have a very difficult time. And this is what I'd like you to consider as I take off out of here in about 20 minutes. This is something that's really important. A righteous Gentile that is leaving a tradition-rich religion that has a couple of holidays, that has a belief system, they're walking away from that. And a righteous Gentile is going into a way of life that centers around 7 laws. They don't have what they've left, and this is why someone like Yvette has left it, because they don't see the rich tradition. Actually, there is, but they don't see it yet. Okay? The bundle of the fields, Omer is a measurement, if I'm not mistaken. Okay? So there are people out there who walk into the world of righteous Gentile, and they say, well, hey, where's the rich tradition? Where are our holidays? Where are this? Where are that? And they're trying to grasp for something to make up for what they've walked away from. This is what makes it so difficult to be a righteous Gentile for many people. It's not the same. I mean, there's not the December dilemma holiday. There's not the one that passed this last Sunday. There's not, they call Valentine's Day as one of those holidays, Mother's Day, whatever it is. They see those as part of a rich tradition from a faith. But when people come to, as I call it, the path of the righteous Gentile, some of that seems to be lacking, and that could be the reason why people leave this way of life to what they came from. because they don't have a blanket to wrap around themselves. It's very difficult. Yeah, Stuart, that's true. However, if someone asks you what today is, tonight, you wouldn't say tonight is the 6th, you would say today is the 5th. You would say yesterday was the 5th day. You don't say the one that's about to occur. Yesod of Chesed, bonding and loving kindness. Do you know what that means? What is Yesod of Chesed, Stuart? You have that little bitty book that you flip over for every day counting the Omer, is my guess. I have two of them. But the difficult thing is when people say Yesod of Chesed, unless you understand what Yesod is and you understand what Chesed is, what are you saying? So those of you who go out there and purchase these other books to try to understand, you don't really need those. You have, righteous Gentiles have a very, very, in my opinion, a very tough path. You have 7 laws that you're responsible for, okay? Those 7 laws are laws that define who you are as a righteous Gentile. It is a very narrow way of life, as in, not narrow as in negative, but narrow as in the path you have to walk. And what you're doing is you're putting yourself in a position to live with the children of Israel. Okay, in my opinion, as long as we are outside the land, it's going to be difficult. Very difficult. But I have a homework assignment for everybody, and here's what I'd like you to send it to. Okay, here's your homework assignment. Very simple. What is a Noahide? What is a Noahide? What defines you? What's a Noahide? What defines you? And simply saying, I know, ask me, it's someone who follows the 7 laws. What does that mean? What are your parameters? What do you have to live in? TG, both. Okay? It's a very difficult question if you think about it. Now, the reason why I'm asking this question is because I have been charged by the State of Israel, the Rebbeim in Israel, to take a look at the Noahide movement in North America. And to take a look at what's called, what I have defined as, what are normative Noahide practices? What do you do? And what don't you do? Yes. So, normative Noahide practices, as in what do you do and what don't you do, defines a person on a much more intimate level than just the 7 laws. And so to help me in my search and to help me understand, I would like you to take this weekend, when does it do? Rebecca, when you're done. My second graders, when they ask me this, they say, how long does it have to be, doctor? And they ask me how long it has to be. I said, you need to do it until you're done. Which sounds open-ended, a little bit cruel and unusual. However, TG is going to write, I am sure, a voluminous paper that it will be very concise and very heartfelt. Pat will probably write one that is both heartfelt with a slight bit of humor, and and other people will probably write it from a point of scratching your head, which is really very true. What is a Noahide? What are your normative practices? From your point of view, not from my point of view, who are you from your point of view? It needs to be a combination of simple and somewhat complicated. It needs to be really, really thought out. Because here's what I'm going to do with what you're going to send me. Here's how important it is. I'm going to take what you send me. I am going to take it and I'm going to mash it and mix it all together. And I am going to come up with what I think are, quote unquote, normative Noahide behaviors. Who you are, what you do, who you aren't, and what you shouldn't be doing. And believe it or not, it's a mess. It needs definition. If I were to ask you, what are the parameters of a supermodel? I'm sure somewhere out there in your surfing around, I know Reuters a couple of months ago had a huge discussion on what those were. And they're all over, I'm sure, on the TV. I haven't had a TV in 2 years, so I don't know what's on TV these days. But if I were to ask you what's a supermodel, a lot of you can define it by looks, by shapes, by a swagger, by a facial expression, by hair, and etc. So you have a pretty clear picture. Now, it's not necessarily talk about your life, TG. It's who you are. As an example, TG, a Noahide. A Noahide is a person who has a profound belief in one God. And even though a Noahide can be or might be pulled from other and different directions, they understand the depth of a belief in one God. Beautiful. What isn't a Noahide? A Noahide is not somebody who steeps themselves in mysticism. Oh, Chesed, believe me, I'm not giving the answer. Should a Noahide be delving deeply into Tanya? Answer, in my opinion, no. Why would somebody who's a righteous Gentile be concerning themselves with Kabbalah? What does Kabbalah do to improve who you are as a righteous Gentile? Answer, nothing. So therefore, why are there people out there suggesting to righteous Gentiles that they purchase books on Kabbalah? Another example, the Gemara. The Shas, the Schottenstein edition Shas, okay? The Shas, it's called the Shas, is a 72-volume work. 72 volumes. To buy it is about $2,500. Why do you need it? Why would you spend $2,500 on 72 books that, number one, you don't understand unless you have a teacher? And number two, what if you get the Rosh Lami and not the Talmud Bavli? And if you have no idea what I just said, then why are people suggesting you buy it? What is a Noahide? Yeah. Here's your first question. What am I? What am I not? How's those two? What are you? What aren't you? That's a really good start. Everybody in this classroom is an adult. Well, there's a few of you I might question on that one, but I'm a mess. What this will do is, I believe what this will do is will give you some insight into who you are, what you believe, and what you don't believe. Okay? Not Jewish. I don't understand what he just said. Okay? Oh, my wife just mopped out there, and it's like, I think I got a big whiff of some sort of pine cleaner. That kill you out there. Okay? Does that make any sense? I hope. Now, it will also help the rabbi understand what we know and where we're at. Yes. Are we going to meet your sons? How old are you, TG? TG, how old are you? 30. My son is 21. If you want to meet him, I have no problem with that. There are Christian groups out there that think they're Jewish, but they're not. Yeah, they're called messies. I refer to them as messies. But I'm married. Oh, never mind. I didn't. How would I know? Messies are which is very interesting. The messianic movement is really coming apart from everything that I've read. They can't sustain themselves. Because here's what happens with the messianic movement, is people from Christianity move into the messianic movement. And they take a look at it and go, wow, Jews are cool, and they leave it. And they go back to Christianity, or they go on to Judaism, which really has made a mess of their movement, which is kind of cool. So if you're married, TG, how come you wanted to meet my son or sons? Not just messies, but Christian Ephraimites. What the heck is an Ephraimite? What is an Ephraimite? Some of the stuff out there that I hear, two tribers. I have a hard time with one tribe. What are they do? A moron. Oh, okay, those guys who live in Utah. I get it. Hebrew roots. A moron. Oh, those are the guys that live in Utah. I get it. Who thinks they're part of like a vault. Some have claimed the Noahide title. Well, here's the interesting part. Ah, hang on a second, right where you're at, and I got about 5 minutes. This is really good. Do you see what Oki just wrote? Some have claimed the Noahide title. There are, and this is one thing that I've discovered in my searching, there are groups of people out there that are blatantly Christian groups that claim the title of Noahide. It's like the Messies. The Messies claim the tribe of this. There is those out there who do the replacement theory silliness. Sorry, whole nother subject. Bad Larry will behave now. You know what's really cool is the lexicon that you folks have will say stuff, and I don't understand what you're saying. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But in that vein, you say things that you understand because it's either a place where you were or something that you kind of passed over. I get it. But whenever I say, did I just turn myself off? No. But whenever I say something and it's part of my lexicon as a Jew and as a rabbi, sometimes it goes over your head. So, if, exactly, if, and now I will ask questions. If you notice, every single time you post something and I don't have any idea what you're saying, I will ask. Now, here's a very good invitation. Pat and everybody else, and Pat is very good at this, TG and Oki and Chesson, a few of you out there that are very good at this. If I say something and you don't understand the terminology, I don't understand what you just said. What does that mean? You need to ask because you need a new lexicon. You need a new mental dictionary, a new vocabulary. And I'll tell you, I have had over the last 40 years, I have changed not only my lexicon, but some of my belief systems, which has really been interesting. The more I study what's called normative Judaism, which is, I found money. Look at this, I scored a couple bucks. I wonder if my wife knows they're here. Wow, that's pretty cool. I just scored $2. I wonder if she knows she left them there. Well, it's like when you're doing laundry and you look in the dryer and you pull clothes out and there's like $6 in there and you're going, holy matzo balls. Yeah, dude. No. Teach, this is great. TG, it's not that I change my beliefs, but I clarify my understanding of what I believe and who I am. Okay, as an example, TG, there are several ways of describing in a sentence God. If I am talking to you, TG, and you and I are having a conversation face-to-face, and I'm referring to that which is above us, okay? God is kind of looking down and listening to our conversation. You know, this yarmulke that a Jew wears, part of the reason we wear the yarmulke is because the divine presence sits on the site of the intellect. That is in the head. The intellect is in the head. Your seichel is in your head. Your intelligence is in your head. And so wearing a yarmulke, one of the reasons for wearing a yarmulke is to give the divine presence a place to sit. Now, that divine presence that I'm talking about is over the head. So if I'm having a conversation with TG and we're talking about this, that, and the other, I may refer to God as the Abishter. The Abishter means simply that which is above. Yeah, very good, Pat. Okay? The Abishter. Some people who, if you've ever seen the anthropomorphic, some of you who've seen the movie Ushpizin, you hear the lady in that referring to God as Tati or Abba. Toda Abba, Toda Tati. Tati is Yiddish for father. Abba is father. When I'm having a more personal discussion with God, I may refer to God as Abba. Or Tati in Yiddish. There's Elohim. If I am in need of some personal healing, I may refer to God as Hashem. Hashem is the four-letter name of God, the Yud and the K and the Vav and the K. That is a very personal. If you take a look, TG, have you ever seen the Yud, the Hey, the Vav, and the Hey, that four-letter name of God in Hebrew? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, TG, you're going to love this. Why do I say that four-letter name of God is a very personal, very, very, very personal, up close and personal side of God that I can really grasp when I really got someone to talk to? Now think about this. TG, now listen to this. You're going to love this. And Rebecca, listen to this. And Pat, too. If I take the four-letter name of God and I put the little letter. No, Pat, hang on a second. I take the little letter, which is the Yud, and put it at the top. Then I take the Hey and make shoulders and arms. I take the vav, which is the spine, and the other hay, which is the hips and the legs. I've got man made in God's image. How cool is that? Seriously, that's one of the ways we're made in God's image. The yud is the head, the shoulders and the arms, the vav is the spine, then the hips and the legs. That's the yud-kei vav-kei. So, but God is not man. No, we're made in the image of, okay? It's a very anthropomorphic, it is a very esoteric thought. However, TG, being a human being and needing to grasp hold of something, if you will, rather than having a guy and a couple of little sticks that form a T sitting on the wall and going, hey, dude, what's cooking? Sorry you're hanging up there. You need something when you're hurting. You need something to grasp hold of. It's almost like grabbing a sleeve and putting your head on the sleeve and crying. It's something like that. If you're that kind of need, what is this? People put stuff up here, and I don't know what it is. Pleasant paths. A guided tour through the previous week's tour portion. Be very careful what you're writing. Be very careful. Okay. Now, it would look like this in here. Here, let me put this down here. It would be here and here. Then in the middle, then here. It's closer to that. Okay? Yud kei vav kei. Yud kei vav kei. Okay? How neat is that? So anyway, what I wanted to say, and I've got to get going because the Yom Tov comes in about 20 minutes, and I still got to go shower and put on my uniform, as I call it. Oh, that's pretty cool. I'm so glad I have attention deficit disorder. When something starts over here on the side, I kind of go, what just happened? I'd like you to consider who you are. Okay? When I take off, and I will be taking off very soon, because like I said, I've got some davening to do, etc., please do me a favor. Amongst yourself and whoever decides to lead the discussion and be part of it. Ow, I have a boo-boo. Discuss that belief system. Discuss what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And possibly brainstorm and give each other an idea of how you're going to write this little homework assignment. Is it difficult? Oh, you betcha tushy it's difficult. No. You don't have to do it by Sunday. Take your time, okay? If you can send me something by Sunday, great. If you can send me something by a week from Sunday, great. But I need to come up with... Oh, betach. Come up with something and send it to me, and please don't be shy. For those of you who don't quite have the words to describe what you want to say, that's cool. Okay? Any questions? Yes, no, maybe so. If you want to take a Hebrew class, Hebrew Online. That is cool. It's about $800 for a 9-month course, but it's pretty good. I've done a couple of them so far. Okay, any other questions? Where is the word Jew comes from? The J doesn't exist. It's interesting. We were referred to as Ivri. Okay? Abraham was called an Ivri. Ivrit is the language. A Jew was a name that was thrust upon us because 2,000 years ago, Judah, if you were from that tribe, you were a Jew. Okay? So technically, I'm a Hebrew. That's what I am technically. But the world doesn't get that. You know, people have used that name for everything else. So what they've done is they've lumped it together. Now, there is a old term, and this is the last thing I'll leave you with. There is something called R-A-B-R, in Abru, and Abru in an ancient Sanskrit language was referred to as dusty ones. So the very first Hebrews that ran around with little donkey caravans, the locals called us Abrus, meant dusty ones. I thought that was kind of cool when I found that one out. Abru became Hebrew. And people from the tribe of Judah became Jews. And that's how it happened. Okay? That's the etymology of who and what we are. Me, I'm a Yid. You want to know what I am when I call myself? I'm a Yid. What I wear is called a Yid lid. A Yid lid. Anyway. So I want to thank everybody for coming in. I've got to get out of here. I got to be done in about 18 minutes. I've got to shower and put on my uniform and get going. Again, it's been a pleasure and an honor. You didn't know it was called a Yid lid? You didn't know it was called a Yid lid? Dang, he learned something new every day, doesn't he? Well, thank you one and all. It's been an honor. Please, 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 please do your homework. Because this is important, because I've got to come up with normative Noahide practices. Okay? Okay? I need normative Noahide practices. And guess what? Be honest, be upfront, be frank. Because if there's something that you come up with and it really isn't a practice, I'll email you back and say, here's what you missed and why. So we actually, the more you put down and the more information you give me, the more I can actually help you. Pat, there's no question about that in my mind, and I greatly appreciate what you just said. Thank God. If you're normal, you probably wouldn't be in this room. Well, I hope in the short time that I was in here, everybody learned at least a little something. Oh, look at this little dude. Here's one of my mini bears. I have 160 bears. Here's a trippy looking one. Look at this guy. All the other ones. These are the goofy, cute ones that I don't have with my collection. I have some that are just cool. Okay. I've got to get out of here. I've got to go do the Yom Tov. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Be well. Okay? Go. What does that say? What does that say? Go Davin, Rabbi. Oi. Bye. Time I gotta get out of here. Goodbye. I gotta get out of here. This is crazy. Yeah. I gotta get because I got other stuff to do. Good night. Bye. Thanks for coming in. See you next week. Yeah, I'm gonna be in big trouble. Bye.
Well, that was short and sweet. It's always fun learning from him. All right, Ken, take the mic.
Try studying with this guy every week. Talk about character. I love him like a brother. He's like a family member for me now. We've been studying together for the last couple of years. He's a priceless individual. I hope he's gone. I'm not supposed to talk about him whenever he's here. Okay, he's out. All right. Yeah, I can talk about him now. Just because he ain't going to be Lashon Hara when I talk about him. He's just a good guy. And he really cares about you. you know, he's really, really concerned that that people in this room are going to get good information and get it the right way. And you know, when he gives you special attention like this, that he's watching what you put down. And it's absolutely imperative that you listen carefully to what he says. No, I am not, TG. I'm a Noahide. On my way, yes, but no. That's why I've been studying with him. Trying to get to that point. And, yes. It just, and he's my teacher. If I can possibly do it, Pat, if I can possibly do it. There's a lot of obstacles, but by Hashem's grace, it'll all come together. You know, sometimes you can't see what's there. I do have Jewish heritage. But, you know, just like he said before, sometimes you have a Jewish soul, and you're going to do everything you can. You're like a salmon swimming upstream to try to get home. And that's what I'm doing. I've just got to keep trying. Keep on plugging. But, yeah, I had see, you guys realize I didn't learn Hebrew overnight. I had six semesters of this in St. Louis before I moved back to Tulsa. And, you know, I've actually been able to keep it alive. Yes, I see it. And I guess, I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm just looking at seven laws. And you know, there's really not much to do. There's really not a lot of structure. You have seven laws, some are negative, some are positive commands, such as the one to develop courts of justice. Can we individually, can we really do that without having a community? No, we can't. And according to the rabbis, the courts of justice are going to be established by the rabbis, like the Beis Din of Jewish judges, not Noahides. That's not what they're intimating. They're implying that it will be a Beis Din set up of at least two or three, Dayanim or judges. I guess what the rabbis need to do for us, what they have done, and what the Hashem has done for them, is to give us a sense of structure, give us a sense of unity, of bonding. Otherwise, see, none of us ever come together. And none of us have a communal function. You know, you can only do a certain thing. Okay, yeah, you're right, but you're only allowed to do maybe a semblance, but never a true Passover, never a true Sukkot, never any of these, and to be observed the way the Torah has specified it. No, I understand you. It isn't a bunch of do's and don'ts. It is an ethical standard of life. An ethical, moral standard of life. a lot of people could pass as Noahides that have no affiliation with Hashem at all. But there again, it's that affiliation with Hashem. Then doing the moral and conscious things and the decent things. And that's all comes together in quite a different way. Yeah, and you see, you've been at this a lot longer than I have, and I guess I just jumped from, basically jumped out of being a messy to attempting a conversion. It's a whale of a jump. Believe you me, it is not what it appears on the surface when you start getting into it. But you know, Oki, you know that better than anybody else. You've already started on that road before. And yes, you're right, it's more than behavior. It is a, and I guess what, if you had to try to summarize anything, you can't do it really, but if you try to summarize it, the relationship with He who made us is what the seven laws are about. He just made it a little simpler for us. Because it's not so hard. But there's about 66 Torah laws that are involved too. And those 66 Torah laws, each and every one of those, have got halakha with them. How do you observe those 66 from the seven? What happened in his book that you've got right now, the Divine Code? This particular book is only one, I think, of five. Isn't that right? Isn't there supposed to be a series of five books that will ultimately come about? And I see this. Oh, okay. I thought there was supposed to be a five-volume set. I maybe misunderstood it. But ultimately, I can see that there's going to be a lot more than that. The time they began to look at all of the questions that can come up and how they can all be understood and put down in a logical format. It's going to be a lot more, I would imagine. But like Rabbi says, he just wants those right now, the three books. That's good, and hopefully that they'll have it out soon, because we're already referring to Volume 2 in Volume 1, and they don't have Volume 2 out yet. That's neat. But it's more, like Oki says, there's more to being an Ohad. As a matter of fact, what you should do, all the folks in the room, is let Oki really define for you probably a whole lot and articulate it, and Larry a whole lot more than I ever possibly could. They've been at this. They're the ones who authored these books you're looking at, folks. They have been an instrument in doing this. They're very, very far more in depth with this thing than I could ever be. So I thought you had some input to that, Pam. Did you not? Okay, but the sitter you did do. I know that for a fact. Okay. At least you'll own up to it. I'm going to turn this mic back over to you. I'm just doing nothing but rattling.
Thank you very much. Check the mail. Touch can. Check the mail. Hello, Will. Will. We gave you a raise, too. Oh, boy. No, we didn't have any input in the Divine Code. There were a great number of rabbis who did. I said, thank you very much, Ken. Check's in the mail. And we gave you a raise, LOL. You're welcome. But anyway, as I was saying, Rabbi Schwartz and Rabbi Sitzman both have a copy of the Divine Code. And so far, they haven't told me they disagree with any part of it. So, The Divine Code is an awesome book, and it's one of several that have come out about the Noahide laws, but it's the one that I refer to the most. It is deep, and I appreciate that it's deep because it gives us the details. And like I was explaining a while ago in my typing, I'll go back a little further. We came out of Christianity in 1993, and we were messy when we came out. And when we came out, all we were getting was the path of the righteous Gentile. What's the other books? Path of the Righteous Gentile, the Seven Laws of Noah, the Non-Jew in Judaism, which is a really expensive book. We paid $150 for that book. And Rabbi Schwartz's Noahide Commandments that's on our website for free download. And that was basically it. Yeah, that was the Path of the Righteous Gentile is Aaron Lichtenstein. Right. And the Seven Laws of Noah.
The chosen one, that book got by about the guy that stayed at, he was encouraged to stay in the Catholic Church.
Oh, Benzimozeg. I don't like that book.
Well, I mean, that's what we came out with.
Now, the approbations in the Divine Code are just awesome. And they've got two chief rabbis. All right, Ken. Talk to you later. But the Divine Code has really cool approbations from very prominent rabbis. And the thing that I like about it is that it does go into the details, because unlike the books prior to this book, we didn't have the information on all the details. We had a few, and we had some thoughts, you know, and some rabbis thought, well, maybe, but it's taken years, literally, to study this out. And part of the problem was they needed to understand what we didn't know. And there's been a communication gap going on. And working on the Siddur helped quite a bit. You might turn your volume down. I'm hearing echo. Maybe they're hearing it too. Echo, yeah. So anyway, it took the rabbis years, literally. And the Siddur wasn't entirely ours. We started working on prayers of our own. And other people found out that we were working on our prayers, and they were also working on prayers. So we all combined them and worked on it together, and everything was submitted to us, and we put it together. So it wasn't just us that was doing it. Maybe my mic's not turned up. Hang on. Not that you really need to be listening to me anyway. Well, my microphone is turned all the way up. Yeah, it might be on your end. Is anybody else having trouble hearing me? You want me to shut up? Oh, good. It's always good to be good. Matter of fact, Richard Rose even helped on the Siddur. We sent a lot of emails back and forth, and we had fun for years. Yeah, Pat, as Larry would say, I'm good. Didn't cost me anything, so I'm good for nothing. Anyway, now that Ken has put us up on some little pedestal or something, We're really not all that wonderful. But if I... Larry says he is. Oh, my. So, what do y'all want to know or talk about? Richard, do you want to turn? Did we lose Richard? He might be napping or something. Yeah, he's probably listening to the computer and not in the room or something. Okay, guys, so what do we want to talk about? I do want to emphasize, though, that we don't have to convert, and we have a very full and rich life. We just have to learn about it and embrace it. And what's different for Noahides versus Jews is we're not obligated. I keep popping out. Oh, no. It might be your internet connection. Is anybody else having trouble? I think they all went to sleep. See, I'm boring. Stuart's writing. Okay. So y'all want me to keep rambling on, or you want to talk, or what? I just wanted everybody to understand, because sometimes Ken really wants to convert, and God love him, I hope he makes it. But sometimes people need to understand that we can have a very rich and fulfilling life. And there's a lot of people in the past, back before we were able to work on these things, that left. I know one person, I can't remember the one name right now, but they even converted to Islam. Because Islam had a structure. And it wasn't Christianity. Yeah. But that was back before we were having a lot of trouble with them. So, but we've worked for the last, well, since 96. Was it 96? I think it was 1996 when we started working with the rabbis to develop things that we could do. Because we had a whole bunch of don'ts. So, the rabbis started working with us so we could find out what we could do. And the thing about that is it's by choice. So if we choose to do it, we can't expect other people to choose to do it. So it's really, it's kind of confusing for people. But once you get the hang of it, it's cool. Yeah, Pat's typing something. I figure she's asking a question. She's a good question asker. Everybody else just wants to hear me babble. Oh, yeah. That's the way it is for all of us, Pat. We all have to keep studying and going over the material. But early on, there's a lot more of that. Once you kind of get things settled and you get the mental picture, you know, the time frame or timeline, but once you see the overall picture and how it all works, then it's easier to focus your study. It's not something I could explain in brief detail. I keep thinking we need to develop a timeline. I'm glad you understand me, Pat, because I really am blonde. I'm a very happy blonde. But really, once you get a foundation and a solid understanding, and you understand more than, okay, we have these seven, once you start getting the details, yeah, the divine code is just awesome about giving us the details. Why is everybody else being so quiet? Because the rabbi's not here. And I can't do a rabbi imitation. Bonnie, you're not being talkative. Yeah, the footnotes are pretty awesome. I think in part that's why he doesn't, so people will be encouraged to get the book. Because once you have the book, you refer to it at different times when you think of, oh, I need to read that, or how does this apply? So it becomes a reference book for you, a lot. I mean, mine's already, the pages are, I wish they'd come out with a hardback. As my pages are already starting to pull in places. I mean, in the Siddur, there's a brief thing that the Noahide commandments are in the Siddur. And that's just a brief overview compared to the Divine Code. Yeah. I have to get a big curse and carry it with me. They get used a lot. Cheryl, are you still with us? Raquel? Hello. And B'nai Noach. Here's Cheryl. I feel like a babbling idiot here, guys. Howdy. Well, you know, we have a little time to spend, and I'm just trying to fill space. I probably ought to quit recording so I don't bother people that listen to it after the fact.